This is an official civil defense film produced in cooperation with the Federal Civil Defense Administration and in consultation with the Safety Commission of the National Education Association.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
America!
The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
Weapons of mass destruction.
We have to send a very clear message to Putin that this kind of belligerence, this kind of testing of boundaries will have to be responded to.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
And yes, as you probably could have guessed by this moment, I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 29 of Anxiety Now. This is the podcast that is your weekly guide on what to be afraid of in the United States of America and across planet Earth. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Coscarelli.
And I am Jordan Rabold.
The other host.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say that and you didn't.
Was I supposed to?
No, I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know we had lines.
No, it's all good. You feel like you're very manic right now, right?
I think I'm always that way, but yeah.
You think you're always usually manic?
A little bit. I mean, it depends. When it comes to work stuff, it's like all psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. Just a lot of drive.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a lot of anger. Yeah. Nowhere to put it.
Yeah. There's no. And putting it on people who don't deserve it or rational places.
Rage and regret.
Feel by it.
Mm-hmm.
The what?
Would you say rage and regret?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah. I think Brett and I always talk about it, but like you just like regret doing comedy ever.
Always, right?
Really?
Yeah, we regret. Yeah, seriously, we'll regret just having started it. Like,
oh, really? They're,
like, when you have, like, moments of just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, okay. We'll just be like.
Before we get any further, that third voice that you hear is very funny stand-up comedian Christian Duran. Thank you for being with us, my man.
Thank you for having me.
Christian has an amazing cartoon called Future Hall of Famers. I am one of the voices in it, but I deserve no credit because it's all Christian's baby.
Yes, check that show out, Future Hall of Famers. But I do want to say I am an ardent listener of this very podcast. I am. I do. I don't.
The man.
I generally don't miss a show. I have notes.
Wow. Oh no.
Really?
No.
What could we be doing better?
No. I was just kidding. I was thinking about bringing in a bell anytime Jordan's unlikable, and just ring it.
It would just be bells.
Am I unlikable?
No. It's just I just remember that girl like or whoever it was like we texted her messaged in. So, but
yeah, she's gonna be joining us in a couple weeks. We haven't. We're working on setting that up. But
it's good Jordan's, she provided no evidence. That's what I like. I like Jordan, that. Just Jordan's, to go with the feelings and not ever express data or information. That's important, I think. Just go with how you feel. Don't ever go with content. Okay.
Jordan's mystery nemesis will be joining us sometime in the next month. And we're going to set that up.
Oh,
but
go man.
On, Christian. I'm
but
sorry.
I did, oh, no, I just did want to say that, yes, that's me listening. So.
Good. Well, thank you for listening and thank you for being here, buddy. I believe you were talking about mania, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. I've been a maniac and I don't really realize because I'm in my own world doing the things and I don't realize how much of a maniac I am until I'm hanging out with like someone who isn't a maniac or at least a maniac in the way I am.
So what's that contrast look
like? Oh, like hanging out with like Dino. Like hanging out with Dino and Wit. Oh, man. Dino and Wit, Nick Whitmer, and Dino DiMartino. We had both of them on the podcast earlier episodes. And I didn't, like, they're both chunky. There's no way to around it. They're just some big boys.
Big fat guys.
They're hefty.
Yeah.
They're hefty boys. They're
big
wearing husky pants.
Comedians. Yeah, yeah.
They got husky pants. And just like... just the food thing on the road, the juxtaposition of my diet versus their diet, it's like...
I feel like anytime Jordan sees a fat person, he sees that's like what he could be inside. Like, you know what I mean? That's what he's trying to avoid.
Everything he hates.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't hate fat people.
You're not going to get me.
They're not going to get me. I agree with that. But I don't have like loathing or hate for them. I just don't know how... It looks tiring.
No,
being
I know.
Fat?
Yeah, it looks tiring. It looks annoying. I mean, I'm sure they're not happy
Every
about it.
Every overweight person is a cautionary tale for you.
And they always... Yeah. All right, here's a couple things that annoy me about hanging out with fat people.
It's really too bad you didn't bring that bell.
We need that bell. I will concede this is an incredibly unlikable conversation.
But please continue.
Yeah.
We're enjoying it.
By all means.
God, I just got distracted. Oh, one is they always like to tell me how happy food makes them. They love letting me know. They're like, oh, are you happy eating that romaine lettuce? And I'm like, not because of the romaine lettuce, but are you happy you have to wear a shirt in the pool? I don't know. If I had a choice between eating romaine and being able to take my shirt off, I would choose that.
Right.
10 out of 10 times, every okay. single time.
But here's the thing, Jordan, from being on the road with you and talking to people that have been on the road with you doing comedy, I know for a fact that you've got a little thing for fast food.
I quit eating fast food.
But you, I know.
I do. Yes,
I
do.
That's
love
a
it.
Struggle for you.
I do love fast
and
food.
And I'm wondering,
I do love fast food.
I'm wondering how hard that was for you to stop eating fast food to become this
whatever
insane
this is.
CrossFit maniac.
It was, you know what? It was hard for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The big thing to kick was if as soon as I started just, oh God, this is so boring.
No,
now.
Go ahead.
But and then I'll get back to being mean. And
we got tons of great stuff coming
okay,
up.
Good.
We got
right,
21
good.
Books you don't have to read. We've got the Waffle House shooting. Really, just
yeah.
another Monday
but,
in
yeah,
America.
Let's hear about Jordan's diet.
Yeah,
let's talk
ahead.
About that. If you want to know the key to changing your diet, it is recording everything you eat, okay? And also doing it with a group of people.
Okay.
So if you have other people to be accountable to, in addition to yourself, as well as having to record a score and have the discipline to actually record the score,
mm-hmm.
that will change the way you eat, I think. And that was a big key for me,
yeah.
is being in a doing a thing like with like 30 other people and knowing that like you know they were going to weigh and measure me at the end.
Do you
and
feel like you're competing with those people?
Oh yeah, I mean all the time. I don't walk into there's
life
not
is a competition.
Yeah, there is not a moment where I'm not feeling like I'm in some degree of competition. Unfortunately,
of course,
as described by a listener, I am toxic masculinity embodied.
That's so funny. Oh my God,
and I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's so
I don't
funny.
Know, man. It's
you're just very intense. You're super. You're. I said it before we got on the mics. You're the most disciplined person I've ever met by far. It's
yeah, okay.
not even close.
Yeah,
but. It's like none of it seems to have any joy. Like you don't seem to have joy at all in it. It's just like I was saying, every crunch is dedicated to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, names. I'm yeah. dude. Who's the little girl? Arya Stark?
Yeah.
Before I go to bed, I name 20 names of people who I want to kill and outperform in life. And then I close my eyes and go to bed.
Right.
And then I wake up.
Okay.
And I only sleep because I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if I could not sleep, I would never sleep. And I just keep whatever the crazy stuff I'm doing is.
Oh, my God.
All right. The other thing I don't like about fat people is
go
that.
Go ahead. I forgot there's a second thing.
Yeah, there's yeah. a.
All right, here's the second thing.
This started with like you talking about yourself in contrast to Whitmer and your mania or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Whitmer and Dino DiMartino, who are fat guys.
Yeah. They are objectively. This is not. I'm not. Fat shaming. I don't know. Probably am.
I'm sorry. I
mean, you should have a little shame. I have shame for my personality, so they should have shame for their bodies. It's only fair. It's only fair.
Shaming?
I feel shame for who I am. You should feel shame for what you look like. That's fair, right?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Or should we just be dickhead, like start a dickhead shaming program where you just accept people, be like, oh no, Christian, he's an asshole, but you don't want to asshole shame.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, you
it's
should be rude to those people, write into our podcast, let me know you hate me, and then maybe I will change my behavior. There was no like valid claim.
I know. Yeah. All right, yeah.
What was the second thing?
So the second thing that annoys me is that nobody has more health diet tips than an overweight person sitting next to me.
That is true.
I tell every time I'm sitting next to a person who isn't, you know, what one would describe as a solid BMI, a healthy BMI, then they will. I'll eat in a thing, and they'll be like, "Oh, should you really?" Is it good to eat that type of thing?
I understand that I'm sweating mustard right now.
I know.
But.
They always have like tricks and tips, and you're like, where did you learn? They'd be like, you know, the key to losing weight is like you just gotta spritz a little lemon in your water, and that'll jumpstart your metabolism. You're like, have you been doing that?
Yeah.
Because it's not working.
Yeah.
It's
right.
not working. Okay.
By the way, I just want to say, as a listener of this podcast, having Gene on last week, I listen to anytime Gene's on a podcast, I try to listen to it.
And it's fascinating, isn't it?
It is. But this is the first time that both hosts were like on board. You know what I mean? Anytime he does a podcast, I notice there's always one guy who's like really into it and just loves hearing him go crazy. And then one guy who's like really trying to have a podcast.
And he gets nervous
the whole time. He's like laughing, like, all right, guys, this is it for me.
Like, this is going to be a lot of editing.
Yeah, exactly. Those words have been said on a podcast with Gene, but that guy is fucking brilliant.
Yeah, well, Gene is so funny.
I do think that one of the pluses for our podcast is that we are kind of willing to go down the rabbit hole with anybody.
Yeah. You don't say.
I think we are, you and I, Jordan, are pretty good at yes-anding not only each other, but whatever other stupid bullshit our guests guests yeah. want to talk about. Speaking of which, talk to me about Future Hall of Famers, Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Future Hall of Famers is a cartoon show that I made myself. The language is a little bit extreme.
It's coarse.
It's oh, my coarse. God. Dude, it's really funny, yeah. but if you are a pussy, don't go watch it.
Yeah, sure.
I got a Reddit comment Fair. From some guy who was Ugh. Like, the comedy was really hateful. And I was like, yeah. hateful? What are you talking about? Well, the thing is, I have, like, 4 depictions of an Asian stereotype in this one. So basically what happens in the episode is we play superheroes, right? So
I fucking love this. Go ahead.
It's all right. So good.
All right, so this is what happens.
Because Christian, I know you're an avid listener, but just in case you aren't an avid listener, we too have gross exaggerations of Asian people on this podcast.
What Isn't you mean? That what you talk about? Jordan?
Oh, right.
but, oh, my God.
But anyway, in the context of the episode, it's fine. It's like, okay, this is what happens. We go to save the city, we fuck it up, and then we all have to give our account of what happened in a Rashomon style, which is a fucking homage to a Japanese film. So we give our accounts.
You know what?
So we give our accounts, and so in my version, he sounds like this lawyer comes in because Callus goes Super Saiyan, and I specifically tell him not to because we'll get sued by Cartoon Network if he goes Super Saiyan. And so immediately after he does that, a Japanese lawyer comes in, and then I'm like, I do his voice. So it sounds like, oh, on behalf of Cartoon Network Japan, you have violated intellectual property, whatever, right? So then there's a character going, that is so racist, you can't do that. So then Callus' version, he actually looks like the Mickey Rooney character from Breakfast at Tiffany's. And he literally sounds like, oh, me Japanese, And then in Jordan's version, it's literally just Pai Mei from Kill Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in Whitmer's version, it's like Totoro from My Neighbor Totoro. So it's like, and then this guy was like, that's really hateful, man. I'm like, dude, you fucking missed the point. It's like yeah. commenting on the fact that these characters are being racist.
Yeah. They're awful characters. Yes. They're not supposed to identify with any of them. It's right. like someone who watches It's Always Sunny and goes, that Dennis is mean-spirited. It's like, and you're like, yeah. that's the point yeah, of right. Dennis.
Yeah.
He's highlighting like the worst parts of us.
Did you ever see what his... I forget his... Glenn Howerton is his name, right?
Yeah, yeah. yeah he's awesome.
He did an interview, I guess, right around the time he was leaving Always Sunny.
Has he left officially?
Yeah, because Always Sunny...
I thought he was coming back.
Is he coming back?
I don't know. Well, it's up in the air right now.
Either way,
know.
He left the show after like 11 seasons, like after a very long run on the yeah. show. And he did an interview with GQ, and GQ was kind of asking him about, you know, the character and everything. And I think Always Sunny is one of those shows you can point to where there's nothing redeemable about any of those characters. They are literally no. like, they are it's like Seinfeld on steroids. They're horrific people, and they're meant to be.
You know?
And Glenn was saying, Glenn, like I know him. Glenn was saying he's like it's like it you know I built that character like in an attempt to hold a mirror up to society and be like this fucking guy is the worst person like yeah. this is a pot of all of the bad qualities that I see in people mm-hmm. and I created this guy to be the biggest piece of shit so I could make fun of him because right. they wind up like the other thing too is like the gang always loses.
Right.
Yeah. They never yeah. win. It's not like they're horrible people and they wind up winning. In the mm-hmm. end, something bad always happens to them. And that's like the part of the fun of the show, really.
Yeah.
So his whole point was like, I'm making this character. He is bad. And then you get to see him look stupid at the end of it because whatever dumb scheme he's yeah. got, whatever bad thing he says to somebody comes back to bite him in the ass in the long run. That's kind of the point of the show. You right. know?
Well, there's a thing that I don't think people get that if you make like dark jokes or insensitive jokes, it's generally because you think that going that far over the line is funny.
Yeah.
And it's not acceptable. Isn't it funny to say something this over the line, right?
You're
guys?
Deliberately saying yeah. the worst thing.
Yeah. I'm saying the worst thing to get a laugh because we all know it's the worst thing.
Yeah.
So why do I have to explain to you that that's what that means? Yeah.
And there's an element of that where you also know it's going to bother somebody.
A little bit,
and
yeah.
you're kind of like...
There's some...
All right.
Well, I'll tell you this. It does suck when you say something awful and the person doesn't really react at all. And you're just like, ugh, did I really just do that? Like, Christian is the king of doing that to all of us. Christian yeah. will, like, if we text something, we have a group chat text, if we text, like, some horrific joke that's supposed to, like, make someone, like, blush or be like, oh, my God. Christian yeah. always just texts, oh dear. And it just makes you go like, I can't believe I did that.
I do that at mics too. I really do. Like if someone just does that joke that's like over the line, just trying to get a reaction, I just kind of go, oh dear.
The dear is so dismissive, like, and it makes you just be like, ah, I can't believe I did it. Because it makes you feel like such a hack.
As a
so
comedian
bad.
Too, that's kind of like you understand what the person was going for, but you're also kind of just like, you're acknowledging the fact that it was over the line, but you're also not going, you're not like clutching
that
your pearls.
Yeah, right.
You're just kind of like, ooh.
You want pearls to be clutched. If they're not being clutched, then...
Yeah, then you're fucking gay.
All right. I thought we talked about toning down the homophobia in general.
It's
but
back, baby. It's ironic homophobia. Come on.
I love the gays. I'm a big fan.
But do you find that, obviously, it seems like your strength is cartoon stuff. You learned how to do this. You taught yourself how to create a cartoon, which had to be a fucking insane process.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make a show that I would like, because I'm watching all these shows, and I'm watching them, and I'm like looking at these comedy shows, and I go, "Ha, that's good. That's really funny. That's really funny." But I'm not laughing,
right?
And I don't see like my kind of sense of humor represented.
Yeah,
and I know like I have really funny friends, so I was just like, if I can make a cartoon show, I know that's what I want to do. And I found this artist in Canada named Chris Smith, who's just a goddamn genius. He's so good. And once I saw his designs, I was like, I know I can do this. So then I just went on YouTube tutorials and like taught myself how to use After Effects.
Christian's been working so hard.
I mean, it just takes a lot of work. I do everything myself, and I've looked into getting like some animation help, but it's fucking really goddamn expensive. So.
I bet.
Or bad.
Yes, that too. I got a team in India to do like a little sample for me, which I don't know. I hope that's legal, right?
That's legal? No, that is legal. That's just outsourcing.
I mean, there was contracts and paperwork, so it should
I used to, when I worked on Wall Street, I used to, there was a point where I quit doing any work, and I just outsourced all of my work to India.
Oh, wow.
I would literally, they would tell me stuff to do, and I'd go, yeah, no, I'll get it to you tomorrow. Right. And then I just write, like, the longest email, and then I just send it to the team in India, and I just leave.
Nice.
And then they'd be furious, would be like, you were supposed to do it, and I'm like, yeah, but it's done. Does it matter how it got
right,
done?
Right.
Well, I did that, and then they sent me back this thing that looked pretty terrible. And
really?
Yeah, it looked pretty terrible, and it was a thing of Jordan and Whitmer arguing back and forth, but they're yelling in their voiceovers are yelling, and they're smiling in it. Like, they just had no reference point. Like, they didn't understand what they were saying or why they were angry at each other. So, like, oh, they must just be happy. And it just looked awful.
I guess, like, I know South Park's from watching several documentaries about their process. They do everything in house.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, Family Guy and I guess the other Family Guy like shows all send their shit out to Asia. But there's got to be some sort of language barrier that kind of comes into play if you're trying to do dry, quick humor.
Well, that's the thing. They get a lot of, they have to send a lot of stuff back to, you know, Korea or wherever they're getting their animation from because stuff just doesn't translate over there.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something on the Clerks animated cartoon show where they had to send it back because they just had no idea what a quick stop was. Like, they were like, they called it like quilt stop.
Yeah.
Because they were just like, well, tea's as good as anything else, right?
Yeah.
they don't know what that is. So they don't know what a convenience store is. I guess they don't have that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would assume no. Yeah.
Maybe not. But so it's Future Hall of Famers is what it is. Check it out on YouTube. It's fucking phenomenal. It's the best thing I've ever done.
It's really, really funny. It's really, laugh out loud funny.
It makes me laugh. I mean, I'm sick of seeing it because I've been watching it for so long. But it's really, I'm really happy with
it. I'd say it's
out.
Even a more messed up Archer. Like, if you like the humor in Archer, it's like that, but even more inappropriate.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
I mean, some of the things I say in it, I don't remember saying. And when you played it back, I was like, I said that? Oh my God.
That's the best part because I recorded them like almost a year ago.
Yeah,
and I've just been piecing it together. And I just like go through little snippets and stuff. And at one point, Jordan's talking about me, and he goes, he's like nerdy black. Like, what good is a black guy who's not even jacked? And he's like, I can tell you this much. I know his life doesn't matter. And like,
Jesus Christ.
It's a joke, though.
It's great. I mean, and it works in the show because it's Whitmer doing Jordan, the worst version of Jordan.
Yeah, yeah.
So it really works, and I think it's one of my favorite lines, but like, Whitmer and Jordan's chemistry is seriously my favorite thing ever because it's like real to their... You know, real life, because they're just like at each other all the time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We both love each other dearly, but we certainly.
You can argue.
We will just argue.
But Jordan will openly trash him about on a podcast where he is not represented.
Yeah. But then in private, I'm very supportive of Whitmer. yeah. all the time. So well, in front, in public,
probably,
I'm
probably
mean
good
to
for
it.
A guy with no self confidence to be supported in private.
Witt has plenty. I don't know.
It's so funny because Jordan really is like the dude who's like super competitive and all this stuff. And then like midday, with nothing, no context, he just sends you, "Hey man, thanks for everything you do." Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
I'm just like, whoa. Like Lance Weiss is like that too. He's like super sincere out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey man, I'm sorry I didn't call you back 3 weeks ago." I'm like, I don't even remember that, dude.
There's that mania again.
Yeah.
All right, that guy's a crazy person, but what's
I love yeah. him. Yeah. He's so funny.
All right, well, let's get into some stuff this week. I suppose we can start with the Waffle House shooting. How many shootings have we done on this show at this point?
I started looking.
29 episodes, and I feel like we've done it at least once every 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty, this is the only one that really bothered me.
Oh, my God.
This one?
Jesus.
I just, right.
You shoot up a Waffle House? What's your problem, dude? That's like one of my guilty foods. So, you talk about places that I eat that aren't good. That's one that like I get a little soft spot for, and it's hard for me to say no to. All
right. Yeah,
give them the details.
So this was in Tennessee, right? It was in the city of Nashville, I guess. It happened yesterday in the morning, and basically, a guy goes in the Waffle House, shot and killed 4 people. There was a guy on the ground in the Waffle House who attempted to save a bunch of people, and I think helped nip this thing in the bud. Goes to show you how much I read about this thing. But the point is, 4 people are dead. The custody is in suspect is in custody, and now you've got this guy who is a white guy. There's pictures of him in the back of the police car and everything. And we have the same conversation that we always wind up having. It's a white guy. Is it considered terrorism? And that seems like. People on the left, that's the only argument that ever matters when these mass shootings happen.
Yeah, that's a funny observation. I think there's a lot of... It feels like when there's a shooting, like, both sides kind of cross their fingers.
Yeah,
and so,
100%.
And, like, liberals are like, please be a white guy. Yeah, please be a white guy. Please be a white guy. Yeah. And then conservatives are like, please be brown. Yeah, please be brown. Please be brown. And it's like, you guys are all missing the point.
Right. The point is that these things keep happening. And
right.
It's literally like the fact that, like I said, we were 29 episodes into a podcast and we've covered it every 3 weeks or so. That's probably not good that we can all just sit here and look back at, like, remember that time? Dude,
we get really repetitive.
This is insane. But this is the thing that's like when we do Anxiety Now, when we talk about the things that are supposed to be scaring at least America. This has got to be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
How is it not?
Well, it's really bad because I remember I saw the headline and I was like, oh, it's only 7 people. You know what I mean? Like, that's really, that's 100%. Fucking,
that's such an
terrible
thought
to have, but 100%. It's like, it's just so common. They're like, well, you know, at least it's only 7. And both sides, Republican and liberal, are both hoping that it's just mental, like a mentally ill guy. You know what I mean? Just because you want to put that debate out there, just like, well, this is not, well, I guess that's more Republicans just being like, well, this is not a gun debate, this is a mental illness thing. This guy,
and then you want to go, so what are you gonna do about it? And they go, I don't know,
give him some more pills or something, I don't know.
And then on the left, they do the opposite, where they go, well, this isn't a racial debate, this isn't this has nothing to do with its ethnicity, look, it's a white guy, you know, when it all just comes down to the fact that motherfuckers can get guns like that if they wanted to, and kill people in the Waffle House. The Waffle House is the place where people
it's not good.
Just don't
disgusting.
Deserve
not
to be killed more than any place else.
I get a school.
I don't mean that.
No one's happy there. I went to a Waffle House one time. It was like Christmas Eve. We were driving, and we stopped there, and we wanted a refill of like Sprite or something, and the guy just came out with a 2-liter and filled it up. I was like, yeah, that's Waffle House. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I've never been to a Waffle House, no matter where it is, where the entire waitstaff didn't have a Southern accent.
Yeah, they're all so nice.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't
they're
matter where you are.
They're all so nice.
They are.
Every single employee at Waffle House is super nice every time I go. It really is annoying. It's really.
Well, I don't know if there's a motive yet for why he went and did this.
Well, this guy thought that Taylor Swift was stalking him. That's true.
Okay,
he
this guy's definitely
Taylor Swift hacked into his Netflix account. I'm not making that up.
No, I know. I read that. I read that. That. And so, what was his evidence?
I don't know. The fucking song. The Haters Gonna Hate 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 song. I don't fucking know.
No, because all of his preferences were Katy Perry documentaries and Demi
Jake
Lovato
Gyllenhaal
documentaries.
Movies.
Yeah.
She watched Warrior like 17 times.
Yeah, but so the issue I think always comes back to, you know, it's way too easy for people to get guns. I don't know at what point we're going to have to like legitimately like
Do you think we should get rid of guns, though?
Well, you know why he did it. He did say why. He just likes IHOP way better.
Try to cap the
conversation. I already told Christian that joke before the podcast, so he fake laughed. Thank you, Christian. Thanks for the fake laugh. I told him that an hour ago.
I don't know. I don't think that the answer is to get rid of guns completely. I think that this is the thing. It's like there's always this middle ground, and the right is so bad at trying to just halt the conversation with the slippery slope thing.
Uh-huh.
But they're like, if you put any restriction on this whatsoever, if you make it even remotely more difficult to get your hands on an assault rifle, mm-hmm. then it's a slippery slope to just taking our guns away completely. But at the same time, it's like, bro, you can't have grenades. Can you buy grenades? No. Can't. We said it last time when Justin Perez was here. You can't get fucking fireworks in like 40 states in the union.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how is this a slippery slope? We've gotten, like, if it's this easy for a guy who thinks that Taylor Swift hacked his Netflix account and he wants to kill people for it, if this is easy enough for him to get a fucking gun, then maybe we should dial back some restrictions and maybe give him a questionnaire.
I thought his dad gave him a gun, too, though.
But the point is that he has really got access to it, man.
Yeah.
Bro, I've been to a therapist 30 times in my life. I've been on antidepressants and anxiety medication at different times in my life. There's no fucking way I should be anywhere near a gun.
Right.
I shouldn't own it, because there's been times where I've wanted to blow my own fucking head off.
Oh, no.
For real?
Absolutely, dude. There's been several times in my life where if I had had a gun near me, I would have 100% killed myself.
Jesus Christ.
But this is the point. Like,
this podcast is way less
I
fun.
I know.
Now.
It got dark.
No, it's not. It's fine. We're fine. I'm still alive. I didn't do it. We're good.
But only because one wasn't there.
But, yeah.
It makes me think. Maybe we should get you.
But do you understand like what I'm saying? Where it's like, I'm sane enough to know that I'm too crazy to have a gun.
Yeah.
But there's tons of people that aren't sane enough to know that they're too crazy to have a gun. And then stuff like this winds up happening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of the mindset that we don't really need guns, but I'm also, I have like a weird back of the head conspiracy theory, like guy creeping in. Like, I love that Chris Rock line where he goes, you couldn't take over Baltimore in a week. Like, there's something that comforts me about knowing that if the government ever did anything.
Yeah.
We'd fuck them up, like just with guns and shit. And
I don't think so, though.
But
here's the thing, dude. Like, all right, I know it's like a bit that Chris Rock did. But like, if the government really wanted to go into Baltimore and just like not even attempt to look like they're trying to control the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and they just went in there and wanted to fucking kill everybody.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they could have, of course.
No, absolutely.
Like there wouldn't have been any kind of
absolutely.
Fight at all. And I mean, you even see it during, and I think that's the best example of it is these, if you want to call them riots, but these like protests when an unarmed black man gets killed, when they get out of control in places like Ferguson and Baltimore, mm-hmm. and inner cities like that. I think that's a perfect example of fucking why guns kind of don't matter. You see tanks come in. You see all this people, you see SWAT teams with gas masks and bulletproof vests and all this stuff. They've got the tech to fuck us up, to fuck up guys in t-shirts with guns.
Yeah. You raise a good point. I don't know why we can't get tanks. I don't know why I don't have a tank.
But I don't know. I think you should be able to. I mean, I hate saying this because it's such a stupid cliche, like you should be able to protect your home. I think it's true. Like, I would like that. Did you ever hear that David Spade story where his like his assistant came in and tried to kill him at night?
Yeah.
And David Spade grabbed a shotgun from under his bed and just like locked himself in his bathroom. Like, if your assistant comes at you with a knife who's like all fucking cracked out or whatever,
yeah,
like you'd want a gun. Like, there's some situations where it might be good to have a gun.
Did you do a bit about that?
I don't know. Probably not.
Nobody That's saw so it
sad.
If he did.
Like,
it's
yeah.
so sad. It's like, I mean, why like, not?
Why would you waste that story?
I know. Oh, my God, David Spade. Stop making Joe Dirt 3.
Yeah. But
it's
I don't know.
Available exclusively on Crackle.
But, yeah, I hesitate to go no guns whatsoever. But at the same time, I'm like, do we need them?
But dude,
really
this is
them?
The thing. Like the conversation always comes back to this. That's not the argument. The argument. Why is there no like because it's so polarized? Nobody seeks middle ground where they're like, okay, make it harder for fucking crazy people to get guns, man. If you are
or sane people too,
or sane people also. But it's like these gun show loopholes. The fact that you can still, I guess, Walmart suspended the sale of the AR-15.
Mm-hmm.
which is insane that they even had it, that you could go to Walmart, pick up Hostess cupcakes, a pair of Wrangler jeans, and an AK-40, not an AK-47, an AR-15.
That's an outfit to go shoot up a Walmart.
I know, it really is.
Yeah.
It's a no little shirt, alarming. Wranglers.
Wasn't that, I heard the guy was naked.
This dude here?
He had no pants on.
He had no pants on. And then I heard he went and got, there was like an update. They were like, he has pants on.
I love
it. Which made me laugh. It made me laugh. He was in such a hurry to shoot up a Waffle House that he forgot to put on pants. And then realized it after the fact. He's like, this is embarrassing. I went out without my pants on. Like,
I've got egg on my face.
I think that's got to be the middle ground.
Was he the one who also just, I read a headline today that like, shooter says sorry.
Did you?
Is that good enough? I mean, sorry?
I'm sorry.
My bad.
That'd be hilarious if he did it like that. He held a press conference and was just like, I'm sorry. And he's like,
wow. Sorry.
That's insanely offensive. It's really disrespectful.
You know what, though? Here at the OG Podcast Network, we have a bunch of radio stations around here, one of them being a country station. And Jason Aldean was actually up here last week.
What is a Jason Aldean?
He is a country singer.
Oh, you knew that?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the one he was playing.
I was profiling you.
Yeah, I know. You shouldn't. I'm not white, by the way, if you're listening to this.
Yeah. So, Boricua.
Yeah.
Right? Or are you Dominican?
Man, Christian, Puerto Rican and Dominican. Okay,
Christian, you're so articulate.
Oh, what
shouldn't you be on the pitcher's mound?
Yeah. I really should. I really do have like a Dominican baseball player's name. Christian Duran.
You look like it too. You should be playing second base in Pittsburgh.
No, I'm terrible at sports. It's really bad.
But Jason Aldean was up here and like the way I was talking about Jason Aldean when people were like, if they didn't know who he was and everything, I was like, yeah, he was the guy who was on stage during that mass shooting in Las Vegas.
Okay.
52 people got capped. And it's crazy to think that we live in a world now where there are concerts that are getting shot, like the Eagles of Death Metal or whatever, the guys that were on stage in the Paris attacks.
Yeah.
This is Ariana Grande had someone blown up outside the arena.
They also waited till the end, I believe, Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice of them. They're like, well, let everyone have one last concert.
I guess so. if you want to put a real fucked up spin on it, that's a way to do it. But and I kind of like, I do feel fucking bad for him, man. How do you fucking live through that? How do you continue to like go on and perform and do these big venues and stuff like that, knowing that 52 people that came to see you were slaughtered by some gunman from the top of a hotel building? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what made Amy Schumer be super pro-gun, because somebody shot up a screening of...
Wait, pro-gun?
I'm sorry, anti-gun, excuse me. A screening of her movie, Trainwreck. They shot that up. That was like the first one that made people, I think, like really scared.
Also, the Batman movie.
Batman movie. That's what I'm like.
Yeah.
The movie theater shootings was like, holy shit. Like,
dude, I think about that all the time when I go to like, especially movie theater in New York City.
Every movie theater I go to.
I'm like, dude, this thing is huge.
Dude,
someone could get fucking busy in here. And like, that just scares the shit out of me, dude. I went to see Black Panther with my girl in Astoria like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally like, until like the first like 30 minutes of the movie was over, I was like, we could get
fucking...
Dude,
I'm always looking at
you had that much fear?
I do when it's like, when it's a packed theater. Because that was the thing about thing in Aurora with the Batman movie, was that it was opening night of Batman. And like the dude went to a place where he knew there was going to be a ton of people.
Right,
like think of a movie theater, right? If you're sitting in the middle of a row
theater.
If you're sitting in the middle of an aisle of a row in the movie theater, and something like that were to, what the fuck are you gonna do? Especially if you're like dead in the middle of the movie theater, you have to climb over so much shit to go any direction. You're fucked. You're just stuck there.
Were you extra on guard because it was Black Panther?
No,
I don't know what this is going to be like.
We know the race of the shooter will be.
What? I was like, no. I was like, if something were to go down in here, I might have a chance.
Some guy walks in with a MAGA hat. You're like, this is not good.
Literally, though, man. Like, I was like, we took the aisle. Because I was, and I did that on purpose. I don't think she knew that I did that on purpose, but I was like, all right, let's get a fucking aisle seat.
Also, you kept your hands on her shoulder so you could just pull her over in front of you at any moment.
Jesus Christ.
I love you!
But I don't know, man. Do you ever have any of those thoughts when you go to like a public anything? That like this, dude, Broadway shows, anything like that. Anything where it's like, where there could be chaos because it's a very, it's a big space, but a lot of people being there makes it tight?
No.
No, not at all.
Never? I mean, not really. No, I really don't get in big spaces and think someone's going to shoot me.
I only think about that at the movie theaters now.
I don't really think about it. And also, I guess because I also just go like, I mean, the odds of it happening are very slim.
It's like thinking your plane's going to crash.
Yeah, I don't really get all panicky about. Yeah, I don't get all panicky about that either. I don't know. I don't really live in that kind of fear. You know, I'm more just worried about my macros.
Well, I guess you're just a golden-haired boy then, Jordan.
I don't know. I don't really have that anxiety. Where I think it's crazy to like be. You can't really live your life that way either. It's just an uncontrollable. Yeah. So it's like in worrying about that type of thing is.
Then the terrorists win.
Yeah, the terrorists have won.
Well, I'm not saying
unless they're white, they're not terrorists. Yeah. Then he's just a mentally ill guy. Okay, I just want to clarify.
He's just a disturbed
brown guy
youth.
Terrorist. Yeah. He's just none. He's a guy who's had a hard. You know, he didn't have enough friends. Like those Columbine killers. There was only four or five of them doing it, right?
Columbine. No, there was like two, right?
There was like three or four.
No, Columbine was like four of them.
Really?
Yeah.
It was like, you guys have friends. Why?
Yeah, go start a fucking rifle club.
Yeah, just like, keep being weird underneath the stairs playing magic. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. Is it really? Oh God, that's a weird thing to think about. That they like four people conspired.
Yeah.
To go do that. Ugh.
Yeah, that's.
That's the first time I've ever thought about that.
Yeah, that
100%
was
100% in all the years that Columbine has existed, as long as I've been alive, I've never thought about like
there was
the
four
idea
of them?
That there was four of them who literally could have just done something else. Like they may have been bullied or whatever, but they could have just like, dude, when I was in high school, there were pockets of kids that were absolutely bullied, and they were like, they were friends who got bullied. Like they all got bullied.
Yeah,
but they and granted, of course, we were. The people in the middle that weren't bullying them were absolutely afraid but that they were going to do something crazy. But at the same time, it's like they didn't do something crazy and they just did something like that like freaks in high school do. They just like practiced, played Magic the Gathering or like they found like whatever the hobby that they could like escape from school from.
I mean, everyone's getting bullied in high school in some capacity. There isn't a person who's, I mean, there's probably like one person who's unscathed by it, but everyone feels some degree of bullying or isolation in those situations.
And it's an absurd cycle because the people that are usually doing the bullying are the kids that are like, they're getting bullied at home by their fucking alcoholic dads or whatever. Like,
dude, I played on the varsity soccer team and I still got bullied by other kids on the team.
Me too. Yeah.
It was like, so you'd be like, is this guy an athlete and he's good? No, I got bullied by the kids who were a year older constantly.
Yeah.
I was always
like a really mean, like mean-minded kid.
So you did the bullying.
No, I wouldn't do the bullying.
Get
like,
out!
Like my brother was a wrestler, so one of the other kids on the wrestling team, he like knew me, and he would just constantly talk shit at me. It wasn't like bullying, like picking up, like necessarily like hitting me in the head or anything, but he would just constantly naggingly talk shit and stuff about me, and I was just like constantly just be like, dude, you're like not gonna be anything in life. Yeah. And it really hurt him.
when you get someone with one of those cutting things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've gotta meet them with extreme cutting.
That's what we should teach kids, just to be like, hey, if a kid's bullying you, tell them they will never be anything.
Oh man.
Yeah, and that's usually true.
That one hurts. And you gotta look them in the eyes when you say it so they know you mean it.
Dude, when I was in high school, I was on the football team. I was bad. I should not have been on the it should be a cut sport. It really should. They should just let you. If they're not gonna play you, they should not waste your time. They should be like, dude, you don't have to be here.
But they need practice dummies.
Yeah, I guess
just a tackling dummy.
Just stand there and get tackled.
Yeah. So this kid, Chris Tash, who was the one that used to like bully me when I was in high school.
Isn't it funny how you always remember those names?
Of course, dude. Oh, and he was just a piece of shit. He was just this redneck from like South Jersey who I don't know what his parents did or whatever, but he was like, I think he might have gone into the army after school. He was just a kid that like had no options. He was just going fucking nowhere. And he used to bully me and it was another one of those situations where you knew that he wasn't going to be the fucking CEO of a company or something. Like all of a sudden this kid was going to like fucking turn up and be like a huge success. And to be honest, I don't even know if he's alive anymore.
Oh, good.
I wouldn't begin to know where to look.
Army, it wasn't good back there.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like there's a couple different types of bullies typically that are like the aggressive bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a couple people that do like the like backhand bullying by accident. But like, I don't know. The fucking Columbine thing freaks me out because I wonder how bad those kids were getting bullied that four of them were like, dude, this is unbearable.
Yeah, this is crazy.
You know?
Well, I remember, and it sucks because you remember the kids that got bullied and you sort of like as an adult, you go like, eh, I probably should have done something. But you're also kind of like, well, whatever. At the time, it's just whatever. Like, I remember there's a kid who just got his backpack thrown in the trash.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought it was funny. I mean, at the time, you're like, that's pretty funny. But as an adult, I'm like, wow, that's really fucked up. Like, just remembering the look on his face makes me sad sometimes.
Everyone laughing at it, too, in class. Did he pick his back out or did he get, like, dumped?
No, it was just like, I think it was an empty trash can, but
still funny.
The metaphor was the same. But, I remember there's a kid named Bruce in, like, sixth grade where he got bullied so bad that one day he brought in a recorder and to record everybody of, okay, like, bullying him. And then they found him, and they fucking beat the shit out of him.
Oh, poor Bruce.
Yeah.
They just broke the tape. They stomped the tape and then stomped him.
Yeah.
I actually thought when you said recorder, the first recorder I pictured was the one you play Three Blind Mice on. So he just came and was just like,
Three Blind Mice is going like, this will surely calm the bullying down.
Get him. They're like cobra snakes. He like starts playing it like.
The thing about bullying though was like there's a lot of the kids that I remember getting bullied were
deserved it. No. Come on.
I think there were a lot.
It's all feedback, baby.
It's not.
Some feedback.
I think
give and take the feedback.
I think it's a small percentage of feedback and a large percentage of somebody else projecting major insecurities onto somebody who
No
really
way would
didn't
I be mean
it.
To Whit because he's fat.
What?
I would never bully Whitmer because of my insecurities.
But at the same time, I feel like as you're friends with Whitmer, and
I know,
if it ever came down to the fact that like Whitmer should lose weight because of problems with his heart or something, you would be like, all right, Whit, we're friends. I know I make fun of you. You really got to lose some weight. Like,
oh, no,
I'm worried about you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I am worried about it.
As opposed to...
I don't like how this became an intervention for Whitmer when he's not here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, buddy. Nick Whitmer, former guest of the podcast, Big Rig, toot toot.
Oh, yeah. We got to bring the rig back.
Bring the rig back, baby. But I think that, like, I remember the kids that used to always get bullied were the kids that were, like, they were, like, really into, like, Dragon Ball Z or, like, whatever. And the fucked up, like, the heartbreaking thing about it, like, being close to an age where I could... have kids conceivably now, you know, it does break my heart to see that like some of those kids escaped to like another, like they found all that stuff because their life was so shitty that they were just like, man, I wish I could be in Dragon Ball Z or I can be whatever. And then the way they would try to like handle getting bullied would be like being weirdos.
Yeah.
Like they'd be like, oh, you know what? If he fucking touches me again, I'm going to go Super Saiyan.
Yeah. But that's like the ecosystem of high school though. Like, I don't, on some level you go, you really want to stop bullying because nobody deserves that. But on another level, it's like somebody bullied fucking Katy Perry probably.
Life
like,
is full of bullies. Yeah.
And then like there was a girl that made Katy Perry feel awful, or there's a guy who made fucking Brad Pitt feel like shit, and now that guy is working at a gas station. Yeah. Brad Pitt's Brad Pitt. It works itself out.
I mean, life is full of bullies, and I think getting rid of it is not valuable. Because you're gonna have a boss eventually who's gonna be not nice to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not equipped to handle that,
then
you haven't faced that in your life, then you're just gonna struggle and fail. Well, you're never gonna get rid of all the bullies and all the quote bad guys.
Right. And the idea of ending bullying is it doesn't exist. Like you said, there are bullies. There are bullies at the corporate level. Yeah. There's bullies if you work at a fucking gas station, just try to bully you into doing shit that you don't want to do.
It's this weird denial of like human nature. I mean, that just happens in human nature, just to have one person's gonna try to be more dominant than another person. It's just like to pretend that doesn't exist is really doing a disservice.
You actually are doing a disservice to kids because you need to teach kids to sort their stuff out.
Yeah.
You need to sort things out. And I will say that sometimes bullies do provide good feedback. Like, we all know Will Posnan.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Most of the audience doesn't.
The audience doesn't, but he's a comedian. He actually does a joke about how he had a unibrow and then everyone made fun of him for having a unibrow.
Okay.
Like a bully made fun of him for having a unibrow and got everyone to chant, shave it off, shave it off. And then he did, and then he got a girlfriend. This is his, I just like, you know, told this joke without any punchlines. And
Well, he tells
that's
the
good
same,
feedback.
He tells the same way.
Yeah. No, but that's good feedback on that front. That's good feedback.
To shave your unibrow?
Like, yeah, I don't have a unibrow.
Yeah, you don't want
that's
one.
That's a very benign one, but yeah.
I guess the issue then becomes when you shave the unibrow and they just find something else. Like, weird nipples! He's got weird nipples!
Oh, yeah, you gotta...
And now you're weird nipple guy.
There also is an element of bullying where you're like, I just gotta redirect everyone's attention to him before it comes on to me.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
that's
course,
what
yeah.
classic lunch table tactic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, I will
just
not lie...
Just get rid of the ball.
Pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at redirecting that hate and heat.
Alright, well, speaking of school, let's get into another thing that Jordan found, and apparently Christian feels extremely passionate about.
Yeah.
GQ put out a very long list. Well, not very long, but 21 books that you don't have to read.
It's so funny.
By the editors of GQ. Is 21 you should read instead, technically 20 books, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn did not fare well, which, by the way, they lost me in that sentence right there. So Huck Finn's my favorite book, hands down.
It's really funny and to...
Just for the N-words.
To be like...
Yeah.
you get Mike Croscarelli's copy and all of them are highlighted.
I just highlighted them so I know what to take out, because they're offensive, that, you know?
Yeah, 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 of course. Of course. You sent it to the publisher, you were like, please fix these, put ninjas instead. Thank you.
All right, so this is a long list that's got a lot of classics on it, and not even just like traditional literary classics, but new classics. You know, they have the John Adams
David
McCullough.
See, that one I didn't have a problem with. Anyone on the list that said because the list is don't read this instead. Anyone on the list that said don't read this because it's boring. I'm fine with. That's fine by me.
Who did they write that for? John Adams
The John Adams one, a couple other ones that were just like, this is just boring. Like, save yourself a read and just do something else with your time.
It's 21 books you should read. But also, who even needs a list? It's not like we're all, like, fighting to read books that you can't get your hands on them.
Right.
But the ones that bothered me were the ones that were like the Mark Twain one, they were like, I think the sentence was in the article was Mark Twain belongs in the past. Let's keep him there. And I'm like,
come on,
douche.
Dude.
That sucks.
Like, awful. You're a douche. You're an elitist, like, snob. And also, it's like it's just what we were talking about. Like, this is human nature. Like, that's part of history. Like, even if you say that Mark Twain was a racist, which they do say in that piece, they're like, Mark Twain was a racist. I was like, he was the most liberal guy there who was still racist. So deleting that from history is doing a disservice to, like, anybody now.
And in the story, I thought Jim and Huck had a good relationship. And that's actually
a
broader
relationship. That was one of the broader points.
They had as good of a relationship as you could at that time.
I've read it for like 15 years.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
That's like, this is as liberal as you could be at the time. And that's something to think about.
And
like,
on top of that, I mean, he's...
it's just the use of the N-word. That's it. Yeah, that's all the bristling hat. And they're not actually listening to the message.
And there's also... I mean, Huck Finn in particular, there's a strong sense of irony there as well. Yeah. You know, I think that he's calling... I'm not going to say it, but I think he's calling him...
Thanks.
I think Jim has that first part of his
Jim.
Name.
Just say what you want to say. Jim. Lazy Jim. Jim. How dare you? You dick.
I think Jim's got that first part of that name because I think it is pointing out the fact that it's horrible. The fact that you've got to call him that every single time, it just like drives home the point. Like, isn't this ridiculous?
It should make you uncomfortable every time you
That's
have to
what
say
the
it.
Hard part about hanging out with Christian is I have to call him it every time.
I'm sorry. What in particular bothered you about the list as a whole, as opposed to just the one Twain, the Huck
Finn
mentioned?
Well, because there were like four or five of them on that. I think the very first one, I don't know the list offhand, but there were just a lot of like, well, this book's misogynist. Why don't you read a feminist book instead? And
get
it's just like, again, my point is, I don't mind if a book is misogynist, it's misogynist. But take that for what it is. You don't have to go, this is misogynist and I should dedicate my life to this and be like this. But you should go, well, this is misogynist and it exists.
You don't have to, like, to ingest art, you don't have to agree with it.
Right.
And I don't know why we live right now. I feel like a lot of people, if for you to enjoy whatever the art, like whether it's like stand-up, a movie, or a stand-up movie, a book, or whatever. Like, you don't have to agree with its message. You just have to find it interesting, intellectually interesting. That's all it needs to be, is stimulating and make you reconsider or think or feel. That's all it needs to do. You wouldn't get only paintings you agree with.
Right.
You shouldn't only read books you agree with.
You would maybe only buy paintings that you agree
with. No, not at all. I don't think so.
I think you could buy...
I think you'd buy... There's people who have, like... I think there's people who... There's a museum of, like... It's literally just racist black art.
Right.
There's a museum for that. A guy bought, he got the collection because he thought it was interesting. He thought it was worth preserving. Yeah. He's right. He's,
yeah, no, I just think it's worth preserving. Right?
It's worth preserving, yeah. And in order to, like, so that we never forget the struggle that
right.
black people went through in this country and show, like, all the racist stereotypes that were portrayed over the years.
Yeah.
And to clarify, it was two white guys.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were a gay couple, which in the little piece I watched about them, that's what's funny is they made sure they threw that in because they showed the people who had created this massive collection of racist African American stuff or black whatever you want to call it black stereotype art I guess is what you want to call it and you were like saw two white guys and you were like. This is on. And you know they know it's on. And then they go. And then, like, they finish their thing. They're like, yeah, it's really just fat. It's an interesting part of American history that I never want to be forgotten. And also, we're both gay and homosexual. We're a couple. Yeah. We blow each other all the time. So we know a thing or two about struggle also. We're not just regular white guys. And they threw it. They made sure that was in there so that we were like, okay, all right. We'll let you two slide on this one.
But counterpoint to what you just said, too, I think that the other aspect
is to
of
virtue
art,
signal constantly.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of art on a personal level is to find the art that appeals to you and draw. Like, it's the same thing as even just when it comes to music, right? If you have Apple Music, you know, I fucking hate. Who's a band that I hate? I hate U2, right?
Okay.
So you're not going to find any U2 songs.
Well, you don't enjoy U2.
But that's my point. And it's the same thing with art.
Well, I could enjoy a blackface painting from a That's Funny.
Well, but that says something about you.
No, it does. It says I'm not a boring person who just like only wants to read like all the books that you already have my opinions in them. That's what it says.
Of course. No, and I get that. I think that it's a vital part of education in school to be able to. I was always very anti-banning any kind of book, banning things like Song from the South, Song of the South, which is like a pretty racist Disney movie. Yeah. Like Christian said,
why would you ban it?
Because it's fucking
because
racist.
Why wouldn't you just play it and then go look at how racist it is?
Yeah, exactly.
And talk about it afterward.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you should do. And say if like they banned that Mark Twain book, Huckleberry Finn, they banned that in schools because it has the N-word in it. But it's like, so you're going to act like no one in the world says that word.
Right.
And then I think like having a conversation about it is incredibly valuable
for everybody. People don't want to have that conversation because it's extremely uncomfortable.
It's icky.
Yeah, I mean, people
I'm gonna
just
have
like
to.
Feeling
I'm
like
going to have to think and feel and argue, yeah.
Yeah, have a
grow
nuanced
up.
Conversation yeah. about this. People really just like black and white arguments. Like, if I feel like liberals are kind of doing this a lot. I'm a liberal guy, not to, you know, not shit on liberals too much.
We know you're colored.
I'm a commie, fuck. But I feel like when it comes to liberals, they just want, like, all right, give me a list of words I can and can't say, and from there, we'll just ban those all, and
yeah.
I'm good. And I don't need to have a discussion about them. Just tell me what just say N-words, no new F-word, no R-word. I'm good.
Dude. All
right. Okay. I want to propose something, though. And I understand, like, the move right now and the movement is to really attempt to try to start kids at a young age to
not say the N-word.
I know that sounds crazy, but yes, to not do that.
I agree.
But to also kind of get everybody on an even playing field, make sure that there is, you know, we're kind of cleansing the newer generations of the idea that a certain skin color could be more beneficial to have than another skin color.
Sure.
Right? You're trying to eventually get the world to that.
Yeah, you want the world to actually be a meritocracy. Yeah.
Right. Ideally.
And enjoy that, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Because
right.
I don't sleep.
Yeah.
I will win either way. Is there an element of history that is hurting the attempt to do that moving forward? Is the fact that we teach history class and history, you know, traditionally, at least the history that we tend to learn, white European history, which is like as like the major history,
right.
because those are the empires, right?
Uh-huh.
Spain, France,
sure.
Germany, the Prussians, England. Those are the empires, really. Is teaching that, and now I'm not going to say that this is what they should do. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Is teaching history, especially history that far back, is that hurting the attempt to kind of get everybody off on a level playing field? In society moving forward.
I'm not even fully understanding the question.
Right, let's say,
so you're saying a focus on white European history.
No, no. All right. So wait, Jordan, listen. So
no, I'm trying to understand.
Let's say, all right, yeah. Let's say
I'm not arguing. I don't understand what the question is.
Let's say that in elementary school or in middle school, in any of these classes,
okay.
they just decided they were not going to teach history anymore. No more history class, sure. Right? You get an extra 45 minutes of math. We got to keep up with China, you know?
Yeah.
Now you have a, you know, you take a classroom in New Jersey or California or New York or Massachusetts where there's a diverse, you know? Mm-hmm. You got Chinese kids, you've got Indian kids, you've got black kids and white kids and all, you know, all sorts of different. If they never learn about history, can you make the argument that they're just going to pretend like nothing ever happened and there is no inequality, racial inequality, if you're literally starting at zero, pretending like life didn't even exist before you started.
You just get a bunch of kids, put them in like a white room and start from there.
And just kind of say like, okay, you're all equal. There's no skin tone that is better than the other. You're black, you're white, nobody cares.
If that's the case, then I would say.
No, but there's already systemic racism outside of the classroom.
But I'm saying,
he's talking about starting from like
I'm saying
zero.
So
the world doesn't have systemic racism.
But I'm saying systemic racism, does that stem from being taught?
From knowing history?
From knowing history and knowing how society turns. You don't think that is possible?
If we're talking about kind of maybe not.
Are you asking
racism,
for more I think you just you try to seek out more representation in how history is taught.
No, I'm proposing the idea.
The idea is that we live in a world where
he's talking about like
race is a construct entirely and doesn't exist, and you just put everyone's in a classroom and you don't know anyone's, you don't even know that race exists. And
my
then
point
you're like,
is,
also we're not going to teach you what happened before this moment. So it's like we live in The Giver. I don't get this.
Kind of. Yeah.
Like he's saying like nuclear.
Sure.
Nuclear fallout.
Okay. Yeah. Of course, race wouldn't exist if you didn't even have a concept of race.
Jordan, okay. Kay. So like my point is...
I'm trying to understand this. I don't understand.
I am not born to hate Christian. Mm-hmm. I just hate him once I drive past his apartment and he's playing his loud music.
Got it.
Do you know what I mean? That's how I learned to hate.
That's pretty good. Yeah. You can really tell what Christian listens to.
But you don't understand what I'm saying at all? Like what I'm proposing? Like, do you think that would help? Do you think that would be like, would that be a good thing or a bad thing to not know history?
So if we had
to start
It would obviously be a bad thing to not know history. Like the fact that things happen isn't why things are the way they are. Because they happen, not because you know they happened. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's 100% true.
That is definitely 100% true.
I don't know if that's 100%
true. Definitely 100%.
I think it's the same situation as if you like get into a fight with your girlfriend and you don't know whether you should be mad about something. There's a lot of times where you're not mad and somebody tries to tell you, yeah, you should be mad about that. And you're like, yeah, I should be mad about that. I feel like it's the same kind of situation.
Are you saying someone reads a history book? Like, let's say hypothetical. I read a history book and
wow, Germany's
pretty
cool.
I am pretty cool. And so I'm reading my first history book ever. And I hear, and I didn't know about, let's just go be crazy here. I didn't know about World War II.
I didn't know about
World War II. And all of a sudden I'm hearing that all these Germans were killing Jews. And now I'm like, man,
that's dope.
I go, this is awful. I really hate Germans now. Now I'm racist against Germans because I know of what they did to Jews, and I hold that grudge against Germans.
I don't think the Germany example is correct. But let's say that.
Well,
like,
I mean, no, you're saying that they did a bad thing to another group of people, and so I learned about that in history books, and now I have hate in my heart for the group that did the bad thing.
All right, would you?
Is that it?
You're Dominican, right?
Yeah.
Dominicans and Haitians traditionally don't like each other, right?
Not particularly.
Is there a particular reason?
I have no idea. I have no context for it. I don't really.
Just know that Dominicans and Haitians hate each other?
I just know that. I don't know why.
Is it because Dominicans don't think they're black?
I don't know. I don't know what my dirty people are.
All right.
Fair enough.
All right, okay. And now you're from a generation at least once removed where you weren't raised to be like, this person's Haitian, you should hate this person.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think if you had been raised by your parents to say, fuck these Haitians?
Yeah, I would absolutely be like that.
It's the same kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Half of the reason you get your lesson to hate a group of people where you hate the Haitians is because there's history that goes along with it. We hate the Haitians because we fought here, we don't get along.
Right, but
Greeks
you do,
and the Turks. You know.
But you need history to give yourself context for humanity. You know what
are
I mean?
You, like you're saying that Jews and Muslims wouldn't hate each other if they didn't know about the Israel-Palestine conflict. Is that what you're saying? This is like, we're really belaboring me understanding what your argument is, and it's...
I'm asking if you think that that would work.
I don't think it would work. I don't think so. I mean, you're basically asking if we just erased that history had happened, and then people, like, everyone forgot everything, then, yeah, I guess, correct, you wouldn't... I wouldn't naturally go hate... Dominicans.
I think people. You know?
I wouldn't naturally hate Dominicans.
Like
I would
you
have
do
to.
Now.
Yes, I hate Dominicans.
You have to teach
well,
yourself real.
I tell you what, I've been reading a lot of history books, and my people have a lot of beef with the Dominicans. I guess in a world where nobody has memory, and right. we all wake up the next morning like we're in an episode of Memento, but then we don't have any tattoos right. telling us to go hate Jews, then yes, I wouldn't hate Jews. I don't know what this question is. It's not a good one. I think I can agree on that.
I think it's a great question. We've gotten so much mileage out of it.
The mileage has been me
managed to make
trying
you
to understand this idiotic question for 8 minutes now. I've just been like, I don't understand. I think not knowing history is only a huge detriment to anything.
Right.
It's only a detriment. It's the corny saying, history repeats itself. The same things keep happening over and over and over again. And if you don't see the patterns, then you can't possibly change them.
Right. Because I think naturally...
Or maybe history keeps repeating itself, so you just shouldn't even try to change it. Because you're like, we're just going to keep cycling
yeah.
through this. So let's just keep on the... Just keep the train moving, baby. Just keep churning through all the Jews. Keep churning through all the people of color. It's going to happen anyway. What are we going to do? It's history.
Right.
Is that the argument that that saying teaches you?
I mean, listen, it's never stopped any group of people from trying to slaughter the Jews completely.
Yeah, I mean there would be slavery like at some point, you know what I mean? Like yeah. there would be just people taking advantage of other people, slaughtering other people just because of opportunity. Just cuz like I don't know, I think humankind is just kind of, not to be too negative, but I think unchecked humankind is just like that.
Very barbaric.
You have a natural fear of people who look different than you.
Yeah, I mean
that is in your DNA.
But it's,
it is in your DNA to fear people who don't look like the people that you're with.
Right, because
that is from
just
psychologists.
Like a predator instinct.
That's from psychologists. That's not from Jordan Rabel's
or survival
opinion,
instinct.
For the record, that's from like Harvard studies.
You read
it
in one of them history books.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And also, just here's another study. If you like measure the size of like Italians' heads, you can tell that they all have Down syndrome. That's
oh
phrenology.
My God.
And if you can measure the size of our penises, you can tell fucking all of your wives. I think that's as good a note as any to get out on because we're over the hour here.
Hey, wait, let's belabor figuring out what that question means again.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
guys. Long story short, read, guys.
Yeah.
Don't stop reading shit.
Read a good
book.
We
didn't even get to the headline in that thing, and that they chose the Bible. It was in the list of books to not read, which is just their way of just being a dick.
Yeah,
well, they just want to hurt people's feelings and get people to read their dumb list.
Yeah, I mean.
I looked at the list. Old Man of the Sea is like beautiful to read. It's like 90 pages.
That might have been one of the boring ones.
No way.
I think so.
Dude, Old Man of the Sea is dope, and if you can't enjoy Old Man of the Sea,
then you're a fucking bitch.
Yeah. No, you just have no heart, and you can't appreciate a great
allegory.
It's also
a bit of a contrarian list to where people are fuck the classics. But and then on some level I go like, well, at some point you don't want to see, like I took a film classes, and at some point I don't want to see Intolerance from like 1916 again. It's just like I'm getting nothing out of this. I've seen The Dark Knight. It's fucking this is not cool.
I want to say one of my favorite books of all time was on there, and that's Freedom by Jonathan Franzen, which I have right here, and I was pretty pissed about that. I don't like that being on the list. It's a great book.
Yeah,
it's an amazing book, and I also love Jonathan Franzen because he likes to put his foot directly into his mouth. He is such a funny old white guy author. They asked him if he thought he could ever like write a story about a black character, and he said, to be honest, I don't really have a lot of black friends.
Well, he's just
maybe,
being honest.
Maybe if I dated a black woman, I'd dare to. That was his quote. I laughed so hard at that quote. I was like, man, say that at dinner with your friends. Don't say that to the like woman interviewing you for Esquire. What are you doing?
I love the here it comes quotes. Like,
yeah, I love that, dude. Also, why would you even ask him that? Like, that's like an unfair. I don't even know how you worm your way out of that. Do you go? What do you say? No, and they're like, so you're just never gonna have any people who aren't white in your books, and you're like, that is correct. You heard me correctly.
Yep.
Write about what you know. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we got to get out of here. I'm at Mike Coscarelli on Instagram, Twitter, and everything. So find me on social media.
I am at jrabeld, J-A-Y, Rabeld on Instagram, at Jordan Rabeld on Twitter, jordanrabeld.com. I got a bunch of tour dates on the East Coast. I'm gone every weekend, so come to a show. We actually had people at our show, at
Your show, in Lancaster.
I said it wrong again. They were like, a woman, you know, it's really funny. She showed up at the show, and she has to pull up her tickets on the phone, and I saw Anxiety Now on her phone, and I went, are you listening to my podcast? And she goes, yeah. And I go, I hope it's okay. And she goes, yeah, it's okay.
That's it?
No, no. And I go, all right. And then she goes, actually, it's really funny. I really enjoy it. She was really effusive after that.
Yeah.
Because she didn't like come off like she knew anything about the pod. Yeah. I was like, you know, when someone like you see someone like holding your like any of your work, you're like, I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
They if they didn't come out like it was great right away, you're like, yeah. All right, well, I'm sorry. I'm doing my best out here, okay? Right.
It's really hard, all right? I don't make any money doing this.
Yeah.
Do it for fun.
Hey, I make plenty of money. Not money. I need to make more. I'm going to make so much money, though.
Give me your money. Can find Christian right.
at...
what the fuck was that,
I know, that was
dude?
Very weird. That was like a weird Patrick Bateman quote.
You know how many times have been compared to Patrick Bateman?
Not enough.
Anytime watches the first 5 minutes of American Psycho, they go, that is Jordan's morning routine.
Jordan, that means fix something.
You can find me on Instagram, at cduranduran. Go to christianduranducomedy.com for all my... stand-up dates. I'm going to be at Treehouse Comedy Club on May 4th in Westport, Connecticut. Look up YouTube, Future Hall of Famers.
Yeah, please go watch it.
Future Hall of Famers on YouTube. Subscribe. Check out the episodes.
Send it to your mom.
Send it to your mom and then apologize for sending it to your mom. It's fantastic. I'm so proud of it. You'll enjoy it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. As always, you can email the show, anxietynowpodcast@gmail.com, and you can tweet at us, at anxietynowpod on Twitter, and obviously go see Jordan live. I'm in the Comedian Project. Oh, this would have come out after the Comedian Project. I just want to say happy anniversary and shout out to my Mexican princess. 2 years of whatever we've been doing. I love you, baby girl.
Boring.
And until next week, folks, as always... stay scared.